Hello, welcome to the Above the Clouds podcast. I'm your host, Gaynor Turner, and in this and my future episodes, I'll be talking through all things expat and living in the fabulous Emirate of Dubai, to starting my own fashion business and manifesting, plus being a mum to my two children and setting financial as well as life goals to achieve absolutely anything. So good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you, and I hope you're feeling really well and very energetic. Apologise for my slightly quieter tone this morning, but Molly's actually off school. So it's typical, isn't it, the first week back? And I think lots of her friends have got colds and things. So she was very, very pale and had sort of the black eyes yesterday. So she's sort of been getting lots and lots of sleep. But yeah, so it always happens, doesn't it? So she had a few days back at school, and then bam, this cold came. But yeah, this is actually a little bonus episode that I thought it might be good to do, just as sort of a roundup of our Christmas, because there are some forgotten bits that we got up to that I didn't mention in my last episode. And I thought, really, this is my last chance that I can mention it, because after that, nobody really wants to hear about Christmas. So, and I'm also going to go through some of my New Year's intentions for 2024 as well. So at Christmas, I actually bought a copy of The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. And I was delighted, because I remember actually looking at this book last year when we went to the Cotswolds and we went to Chipping Norton and went into a bookshop there. And I just kept picking up this book because it was so beautiful. But the children were sort of getting to an age where they don't really look at books like that, and sort of more picture books. So I thought, well, you know, can I buy a copy of this book for me? But last year I didn't. I decided against it. But yeah, when I was shopping with my mum and my sisters for our Christmas weekend away, we did go into a beautiful bookshop in Marlow. And I decided to actually buy a copy, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's like a hardback copy, quite a big book. And it was just heaven. I actually sat up in bed when the children were asleep one evening and just read the book to myself, and saw more quotes, which again made me well up. So the newest one is, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" The mole asked the boy, and the boy replied, "Kind." So I was equally as tearful when I read the book as I was for watching the film. But yeah, I also finished my Christmas book as well. And what I was tending to do was sort of stay up a little bit later. The children this year were very much just doing their own thing. They were spending a lot of time together, which was just amazing. You know, just made me so happy just to see them really chatting and spending time together. So that gave me lots of extra time just to sit up in bed in my Christmas pajamas and read. So yeah, I mean, that alone is very luxurious, isn't it, having that time. So I read a full Christmas book, one I'd actually read before, but it was such a lovely story about a girl that works in a gift shop in Cornwall, and you know, all the things that they get up to for Christmas in the town. So that was lovely. I was reading it first thing in the morning as well, because again, I always wake up early. And because I was sort of giving myself that time off, I didn't have any sort of immediate plans. So that was amazing as well. And such a lovely way to start the day, just by reading, and reading something lovely as well. So I was really pleased I got to actually finish the book. And then I actually saw the girls. I had a night out with the girls. And my friend is so organised. She actually set up a WhatsApp group and sent out a survey to all of the girls saying, "Gaynor's coming home. What day can everyone, or what night can everyone meet up?" And did this little survey. And I thought, that's amazing. She's phenomenal. So organised this night out. And we went just to the local pub, which had had a bit of a refurb since I last went in it. And it was really super Christmassy. So went in there for a couple of drinks first, and then went to one curry house, and they'd got our booking for 9 o'clock, but their sort of party and their sort of tables that they had in there were still very much in the flow of enjoying themselves. So I think it would have taken a good half an hour or so for us to have actually got our seat. So we decided to move to the other curry house just over the road, which we've been to before. And that was empty. But it was quite funny. The food was lovely. But the owner was in there having his dinner at a table by himself. And he just kept shouting over that the food's really good here, isn't it? it's always just such a lovely evening and so nice to catch up with the girls. And, you know, it's funny that they say sometimes they see me more often than they see, you know, other members of the group. And it can be like that, can't it? You know, I live all those miles away. But we sort of get together every time I'm home now. And there's nothing like good friendships, is there? You know, sitting around a table and just laughing together. So that was lovely. And then Oscar got to go to an Aston Villa match at Villa Park. And he was just on the ceiling. He couldn't actually sleep the night before. And then he went with Richard and his uncle Paul, and they went off. And excuse me. And then me, Molly, and Auntie Sonia. It was actually our first night at Auntie Sonia's house, so we sort of carted all the luggage over to her house. Luckily, she doesn't live too far away from my mum and dad. Just a short drive away. So we went there. Molly had actually bought some beautiful pyjamas in the daytime, so she was happy to wear those and very excited. Me and Auntie Sonia had a glass of Prosecco. And then we actually found ourselves actually putting the Aston Villa match on the TV, because what we quickly realised was whatever the result was going to be would depend on how... Or it would determine sort of how good our Christmas would be, because if Oscar went to his first Villa match and they lost, you know, everyone's Christmas would be over, basically. So we've never cheered so much for a football match in our lives, because we were also very aware that, you know, his heart really goes into football and he is so passionate about it. He could literally talk to any football expert and know what he's talking about. So I thought, you know, gosh, if he has to sit there and they lose, you know, I was just keeping everything crossed. But so they did score. So, you know, me and Molly and Auntie Sonia were sort of jumping up and down, just ecstatic for, because we could imagine how it felt to be there. But then the goal was disallowed. And then Sheffield, I think they were playing against, they scored. But they did do some dodgy tackles as well. So I was just thinking, if they then lose, you know, as a result of some of these dodgy tackles, you know, he's going to be distraught. But luckily, and I think it was in like one of the last minutes of the game, they scored. So they equalised. So I could just imagine what it felt like for him to be there. So it was okay. Christmas was saved. I was still slightly worried that he might still be unhappy that they didn't win. And obviously we have lots of talks with him beforehand, before a match, saying, you know, one team has got to win and one team has got to lose. But no, he came in and was full of wisdom about it, saying, you know, we did well and this, that and the other. So that was good. But yeah, he was so happy to have been there, and what a lovely memory for him. So close to Christmas as well. And then my other new thing I just wanted to mention was I've started buying Christmas magazines for myself, which is a tradition that I started last year. And I went into, I think it was WH Smith's, and I went in there and I'd bought the Cotswolds Christmas magazine, which is random being as though I live in Dubai, isn't it? But I really, really enjoyed reading these magazines. And I remember my friend coming round with her children not long after we'd all got back, and I think she was having a bit of a homesickness moment, so was poring over these magazines, just saying, oh, it looks so beautiful there. But yeah, I decided to keep up the tradition, so I went into Asda, which that was a joy as always. I don't think anyone in Asda looks as happy as I do. I'm just walking around there as if, you know, I'm just in heaven. But yeah, so I picked up these two sort of house magazines, the ones that are all decorated, all Christmassy on the front. So I think the one was called House Beautiful. But I really enjoyed reading them over Christmas. And then I think that the most amazing moment of my Christmas was when we were staying in Burford in the Cotswolds, and we stayed in the pub. After we'd been sort of gift shopping, we had a few hours before we had dinner on the evening. So again, the children were just chilling. I'd put a Christmas film on. They were just on their iPads playing a game together. And I just thought, I'm going to have a bath. And I'd mentioned it to my sister as we were sort of arriving back at the pub. And I can't remember who it was that mentioned it, but we were like, should we get a mini bottle of Prosecco from the bar and each have a bath and have a nice glass of Prosecco in the bath. I don't drink all the time. I will mention that, but we were staying in a pub, so we asked them if they had any sort of mini bottles of Prosecco, and they did. So me and my sister each bought a bottle, and I just had the most heavenly bubble bath, filled the bubbles up really high, took my Christmas magazines in, and spent a good hour in the bath, just very, very happy. And I could just hear the Christmas film playing in the next room. And it's just one of those moments in life where you just think, what else is there in life, you know, other than this, that will make me this happy, you know? But it was just lovely. And then, on Christmas Eve, we just went to a restaurant called Pesto, not far from where Richard's sister and brother-in-law live. And it's nice because we can walk there. So they did like Italian tapas. So we've been there for the last few years, actually. And I think anywhere where you can walk to and eat is lovely, isn't it? So lovely atmosphere in there. And we had a nice big table, and Richard's mum and dad came as well. So yeah, so those were just the bits that I'd missed off my last episode. And it would have made the episode quite long had I have told you everything in detail. So, but yeah, so with regards to my New Year's intentions, I think now one of my favourite things to do between Christmas and New Year, and they call it Twixtmas, although I don't know how that word relates to what that time is, but sometimes even on New Year's Eve, I like to get a new notebook and just write down things that I want to improve on for the new year. And I think it's a really valuable time, and to have that peaceful moment of reflection about the new year that's coming, and also the year that's just gone, and to think of some new goals for yourself or things to improve on. It's almost like a work appraisal where you've sort of got a real opportunity to go through certain things that either that you want to do better, or maybe some brand new goals for yourself. So mine for 2024, I've got a few health related ones, actually. So what I really want to do is start Pilates or yoga, because I really want to focus on sort of tone and strength. So I did do yoga years ago, probably for a few months with my neighbour when we lived in our first house. And it used to be very difficult not to laugh, because some of these positions that you have to do and be really close to the people next to you. It's amazing how quickly you can gather that tone and that strength in your body by doing all these different stances and positions. So that's definitely a goal of mine for this year now. But also to do a lot more weights in the gym, do a lot more sit-ups and things, and just sort of build that strength and build that stretchiness. And I do go to the gym, and I do walk, and I do my dance workout. I think sort of focusing on certain muscle groups can really sort of, I don't know, you just look nicer in clothes, don't you, in certain things, and feel more confident. And then I've started my sort of no sugar again, and I'm on day 5 now, and it has been quite easy, actually. Thinking of doing, although I may tweak this, but I was thinking of doing 4 weeks without sugar, and then just letting myself have 1 or 2 days off, and then going back to another 4 weeks without it. And what I don't want to do is then sort of eat too much sugar within those couple of days. Just try and wean myself off sugar altogether, because once you start giving up sugar, after you've gone through those first few days, it is quite easy, and your energy levels soar and your skin looks better. You know, it just benefits you in so many ways, and also in long-term health ways as well. You don't want these spikes in your sugar levels all the time. So that's another one of mine. Also, to really look after my hair, which is a bit of a random one, but it was actually written on my goals list starting from last year, that I really want to have hair that's really thick and really healthy. And obviously, we all straighten our hair all the time, or curl our hair, or use the hair dryer on it. And I do use these sort of heat protectors, but I think there's a lot more that I could probably do. So maybe use these hair masks, or look into ways to strengthen your hair. What I tend to do now as well is, if I'm having my hair curly, my hair is quite naturally got a wave to it when I wash and leave it. So now I'm just trying to leave it to dry completely naturally. And if I am then sort of just wanting to style my hair a little bit, only doing the top layer of my hair. So just leaving the rest of it sort of naturally curly, because it does look quite nice. It's just that those top bits of my hair that need a little bit of help. So actually focusing on that, so that, you know, by the end of the year, my hair will have grown. Nice and thick and shiny as well. And then another one is to eat a lot more fruit and vegetables, which probably a lot of people have on their list. Blueberries, and often raspberries or strawberries, are something that I eat every day. Normally for lunch now I have a banana sandwich with, I've discovered, almond butter. Which a friend of Richard's actually bought him a jar of almond butter. So I was going to have peanut butter, but this almond butter is even more amazing. I think it's Moroccan, the one that we get. But absolutely gorgeous, and it's like having a dessert for lunch. And I just have it on brown bread, and it's absolutely amazing. And your energy levels throughout the entire afternoon then are really high. And plus, you don't feel hungry. But I could still do with introducing a lot more veg into my diet as well. Again, I eat a lot of salads, like salads probably 3 times a week. But vegetables I could do with upping. And then it's to complete my book, ideally by the summer. I've got sort of a target in mind, and publish it. And I don't know how you do that yet. All I'm concentrating on at the moment is writing 1 or 2 chapters every few days, and trying to be very disciplined with it. But at the same time, I do realise with writing, just like, you know, coming up with podcast ideas, sometimes you can't force an idea. And if an idea isn't coming, the best thing to do is just take a break from it and just relax, or go out for a walk, or wait a few days and something will come through. So I've really got that in my mind, that I really want to sort of explore that side of things, and explore writing a little bit, because I was a scriptwriter for 10 years. And I have always liked words, and I love reading, obviously, myself as well. To actually be writing a book myself, this is a whole new venture for me. And like that lady said, I can't remember her name, on that advert that I saw for Masterclass, she said, "You become a writer by writing. There's no other way around it. You just got to keep doing it, and, you know, keep improving on it." That's firmly on my list as well. And then I think my final one for now anyway, and I do add to my list, is to save and save and save, but at the same time also putting a lot of money into my business as well. So I am intending to open up more of the fixed term savings accounts. Some people prefer to sort of have accounts where you dabble in shares and things. And considering I've worked in finance for many years, I still prefer to keep my money somewhere safe. And having a fixed term savings account where you can get much higher rates than if you just open a normal savings account, that makes me feel quite good and quite secure. So I'm intending to save a lot more of those. And I did really well sort of for November and December. I really stretched myself in terms of savings. And Richard loves the expression, you should save until it hurts. And I really did, you know, I sort of cut down on certain things, although we had an amazing Christmas and I did lots of shopping. You know, I was also earning money from my business as well. So I was just, you know, putting that in my savings as well, which felt really good. You know, and why shouldn't you save money, in December just because it's Christmas? Why not really stretch yourself and see what you can do? And it's also a great way to start the new year as well, isn't it? To kick off those intentions, you know, and you've already really got a head start and then feels really good. So I think that's everything on my my resolution list. And I hope you've enjoyed this lighthearted episode, a sort of a way to ease yourself into to 2024. So you can find me on Instagram at Gaina Above the Clouds. My online store is abovetheclouds.boutique with all of my clothing on there. And I'm also in the midst of booking some more pop-ups. So at the moment, I've got the first Sunday in February. I've actually booked the right market. So if you're around and you're in Dubai and you want to come and meet me, because I would love to meet you. And yeah, I say other than that, everything else to do with Above the Clouds is on there. And I'm actually going to leave you with something a bit different. And it's actually a beautiful poem that was read out by my son, Oscar. And it was just too cute. He read it out to me in the car on the way home. And I just thought it's such a lovely, cute, happy little poem written by Spike Milligan. So yeah, I'm actually going to stick that on the end of my podcast just as a nice little way to round it up. But yeah, so in the meantime, I hope you have a lovely weekend. And again, welcome to 2024. And I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
A poem by Spike Milligan. Smiling is infectious. You catch it like the flu. When someone smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I passed around the corner and someone saw my grin. When he smiled, I realised I'd passed it on to him. I thought about that smile, then I realised it's worse. A single smile, just like mine, could travel around the earth. So if you feel a smile begin, don't leave it undetected. Let's start an epidemic quick and get the world infected.